This is The Gospel Way with the Fairfield Church of Christ.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Hi, I'm Jody Davis with the Fairfield Church of Christ, and it is really great to have you with us so that we can turn to the Word of God, the Word of Truth, and we can study just for a little bit this morning. Last week, we talked about forgiveness, and we can kind of sum it up this way. Our sins with forgiveness are subdued, they're held down, they're cast into the depths of the sea. They are removed as far as east is from west. They're like scarlet, they will be white as snow. They're like crimson, they will be as wool. They'll be blotted out. When we're talking about the forgiveness of God, they will be remembered no more. And we read about this as we went to Micah and to Psalm and Isaiah and Jeremiah. We went to Acts. But we left with the question, how do we come to this forgiveness of God? And the first thing I'd like us to consider is the glory of Christ, the unfathomable glory of the Son of God. And we have glimpses of this when we turn to Scripture. In John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, we find our Lord there in the beginning, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, Jesus Christ. And without Him, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. The glory of Christ before the world was, the glory of Christ in this instance, in the creation of the earth and the universe. In our Lord's Prayer, in John chapter 17, we can read a few more things. In verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Before the world was, the glory of Christ with God his Father. In verse 24 of John 17, in speaking of the apostles, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." Before the foundation of the world, the love of God for his Son, the glory that he had in it. And we have a glimpse of that with the transfiguration. When we turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse 2, we read, "And he, our Lord, was transfigured before them," those apostles present. "His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." The glory of Christ. Before the world was, before the universe was. This glimpse with the apostles in the transfiguration. The glory of Christ then. And as we'll see, the glory of Christ now. But I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter. With us having an understanding of, number one, the totality of forgiveness. of God. And number two, the absolute glory of Christ before the world even was. And here in Matthew, the 26th chapter, they're coming to arrest our Lord, to take him into custody. The shadow of the cross lay terribly heavy and is so near. And in verse 47, we read, "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people." A multitude is multiple people, a large group of people. And here we read that it was a great multitude, a very large group of people, armed with swords and armed with clubs. And they came from the chief priests and elders of the people. They came with full authority to use those clubs, to use those swords, to take our Lord into custody, to arrest him, to take him away to be murdered. But if we skip down to verse 53, we see a glimpse of that glory and that power of the Son of God. "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" That mighty glory, that mighty power which we talked about, it was still with our Lord. He made a decision not to use the power in his hand, but to go to that cross for you and I, to let them take him into custody for you and I. You know, 12 legions of angels, a Roman legion, we could tag the number 6,000 on one legion. That would have, and it says more than 12 legions, so it would have been more than 6,000 angels for our Lord and individually for each of the apostles present if he had called for them. Or if you look at it collectively, it would have been more than 72,000 angels. That great multitude of people with clubs and swords would have been like a fly on the wall in a fly swatter, with the power and the glory and the majesty of Christ. But he chose not to use that for you and I. If we stay in Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we go back to verse 28, where our Lord is instituting the Lord's Supper, we read this, and it's very important. "For this is my blood of the new covenant." Christ shed blood on that cross through the torture administered to him for you and I, for the new covenant, the new testament, which he has given us for you and I. "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." And here it is, "for the remission of sins." That forgiveness which is absolutely total. It is so total with God that the sins are remembered no more. "For this is my blood," the blood of the cross, "of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And herein lies where we need to go to learn how to receive this wonderful forgiveness, the grace of God. We have to go back to the cross, so to speak. We have to open the New Testament of Christ, the words of Christ. And we have to look to that. And there will be our answer. Stay with us. Next week, we'll open that book. We'll take a look at remission of sins. And we can see how the blood of that cross, which he so freely gave for you and I, when he could have called on 72,000 angels, we'll see how you and I can come to the grace of God in this absolute forgiveness. Won't you join us at the Fairfield Church of Christ in going to that word? Join us in that cause. It is our utmost concern to worship our Lord as closely as possible to the way the church in the New Testament did. We follow the precious, inspired words in the New Testament of Christ to be saved, to live, and conduct our services. It is our cause, the cause of Christ. We do not use manuals, rule books, or any other man-made guidelines or rules. The additions, deletions, and twisting of man, well, we reject those. We do not report to a corporate headquarters, nor are we bound by councils of men or votes that are held at distant conventions. We are bound by and beholden to the Word of God, and only the Word of God, that precious New Testament of Christ handed down to us. And the head of the church, the authority of the church, well, Christ is the head of the church, his body. Won't you come join us in our simple plea for everyone to return to the pure Word of God? Just the Bible for just Christians. We meet on Sundays for Bible study at 9:30 in the morning and then for worship at 10:30 in the morning. And also on Sunday, we have a 6 o'clock p.m. worship. On Wednesdays, we meet at 6 o'clock p.m. for a Bible study. If you would like to study the Bible, that pure Word of God, with a correspondence course by mail or in person at your home or our building, don't hesitate to contact us you can contact us by email at fairfieldchristians@gmail.com. That's one word, fairfieldchristians@gmail.com. Or you can call us any time of night or day at 618-847-7202. Until next time, Lord willing, this has been the Fairfield Church of Christ with the Gospel Way.